so everywhere. Let him go.
You are listening to a message from Calvary Fellowship of Ottawa. For more information about our church, or more importantly, how to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, please visit our website, calvaryottawa.ca. Now, if you're able, open your Bible for today's study. Come through the sun,
come by spirit. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm chapter 37. We finished the book of Revelation a couple weeks ago. We're heading into Genesis here at the end of January. We're going to really change up the way that we've been going through the Bible when we get into January. And so we just got this little couple weeks. And as I prayed about it, just felt like the Lord said, hey, let's just review some of the basics. And so last week we kicked that off, and you heard some of the people talking about the message about grace that we were last week. Yeah, if you need a Bible, everybody needs to have a Bible tonight because of what we're doing tonight. So if you came without a Bible, either figure it out on your smartphone or raise your hand, and one of the guys will get you a Bible. So last week we did grace and talked about grace. That's a fundamental doctrine, truth, that every Christian should know and should be growing in. And then this week, what I want to do is I want to talk about personal devotions and a time set aside every day to meet with the Lord in Bible reading and in prayer. And here's the deal. I'm giving you guys tonight a secret. There's really no other way to explain that than to say, Andy, do you have any secrets to being a pastor or being in ministry or being a dad or being a Christian? And I would tell you, this is the secret right here. It's a daily time of Bible reading and prayer. And you say, Andy, you're a pastor. You pick your own schedule. You probably spend lots of time just humming, you know, with Jesus, you know. And I'll just remind you, I have four children, and they're very active. And I have a wife who travels often, and I pastor a church full of people that are growing in their relationship with God, which means that they have problems. And and I love them. Grateful that they're here. Anyway. But this is my secret. We were at a pastor's overnight, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, something like this, and just a handful of us in a hotel room. And one of the guys asked, they said, hey, what would your spiritual life look like if you weren't a pastor anymore? If tomorrow you weren't pastoring a church, you're just ordinary dude living for Jesus, what would your spiritual life look any different? How different would it look? And I thought about it for a few minutes, and I said to the guy, I said, listen, if I was not a pastor tomorrow morning, I'll tell you exactly what I'd do. Tomorrow morning, I'd get up, and I'd open up my Bible and my journal, and I'd read, and I'd pray, because I was doing that before I became a pastor, and it's probably the reason that I did become a pastor. And God has spoken to me so many times in that little discipline, that little habit, that I cannot imagine living life without doing that. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 says this. That's not where we're turning, but Psalm chapter 1, I want to read what it says to you. It says, blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by rivers of living water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. A lot of us are living the Christian life. We got really high highs, extended church service. And then Tuesday, low lows, you know, and Satan has moved into my house, and he's here, and he's trying to get his, you know, you understand what I'm saying? And so you're just living the Christian life up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. You understand what I'm saying? Anybody here understand what I'm saying? Okay, This is the secret to this. Okay? And if my ministry went to nothing, this would be the only thing that I would pass on to people on and on and on, is this habit, this just daily appointment, this daily quiet time. And a couple more verses about this. Jesus said in John chapter 15, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." And this is, for me, this is what this looks like. Now, I understand different people will do devotions different ways. Some people, you're just so led by the Spirit that you'll drop everything at 11 a.m. and just spend a bunch of time in the Word. And then, you know, the next day it might be 3 p.m. and the next day it might be 6 a.m. You know, I understand that. But for some people, like me, it's so important for me to meet with the Lord. I'm with my friend Sean here. I'm the biggest jerk in the world. It's so important for me to meet with the Lord on a daily basis. I want to schedule it. I want to make sure I set aside time for it. I want to make sure that it's important. Maybe even more important than taking a shower. I have my devotions. I skip the shower. My calendar is clear the rest of the week. Do you understand what I mean? David wrote Psalm 143, verse 8, "Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul." In the morning. For me, when I do this in the morning, 15 minutes is really all I take. I take 15 minutes. I don't take an hour. I don't take half an hour. For me, it's 15 minutes. 15 minutes more. What I find is that it opens up a conversation with the Lord that lasts the rest of the day. That's the way it works out for me. 15 minutes is not a lot of time. But and what I tell people is, listen, you don't need a buffet, binge, you know, gourmet meal. What you need is you just need breakfast, spiritually. You just need breakfast. And that breakfast can sustain you throughout the day. And the Lord can continue to speak to you and talk to you. You may continue to read stuff the rest of the day. But just that daily habit of opening up the day with the Lord, it'll change your life. It's definitely, without a doubt, my secret. Heman the Ezrahite wrote in Psalm 88, verse 13, "But I, O Lord, cry to you in the morning. My prayer comes before you." You see, Andy, what about devotional books or prayer books or something like that? You know, I'm cool with that. It's okay with that. I'm okay with that. Devotional books is okay. If you're reading Oswald Chambers, you know, and getting a lot of, that's fine. Here's my perspective on that, though. Somebody is cutting your drugs. You understand? That's like asking your mom to cut your steak. You get what I'm saying? I think it's way better to just open up that book, the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to get something through your tough skull, and go on with the day. I think that's better. Just give me the good stuff. Give me the get it. Right? You understand, right? So I've been doing this about 20 years. This is the way that I do it. Other people do it different ways. That's cool. I think the important thing is just that you're doing it. You're setting aside some kind of time to meet with the Lord throughout the day. And I think prayer is good, but I also think Bible reading is good. I think Bible reading is good, but I also think prayer is good. I think both of them have got to be there together. I also journal. And so here's what I want to do. And I've done this a lot. One-on-one. In fact, some of you guys are going to be kind of disappointed. You're like, oh, I've already got this. And I've done this in some workshops. I've done this at Camp Iowa. I've done this at a pastor's conference for devotions. But I've never done it for Calvary. I've never done it for us as a church. And so here's what I want to do tonight. I want all of us to do devotions together. No amen, no yippee-yay, no. Okay, we're just all going to do it together. And we're going to do it my way. Because I'm the pastor, and so we're doing it my way. And when you leave here tonight, you can do it however you want to do it. But if you want to be spiritual, do it my way. No, it's a joke. No, it's a joke. But at least you'll know, you know, say, hey, I'm getting the same spiritual food my pastor's getting. You understand? I'm giving you a secret, right? Like, I'm giving you a secret. You get this, right? Okay. All right, so here's what we did. We gave you guys a sheet of lined paper in the bulletin. So I want you to go and pull that out, unless you have a journal or something to take notes with already. If you want to do it on a smartphone, you know, where you take notes electronically, feel free to do it like that. Here's the way I do it. Every day is a new sheet of paper. Every day we turn the page and it's a whole new piece of paper. Yesterday is gone, starting afresh every day. His mercies are new every day. I start by putting the date on the top of the paper. I also put the time. If you want to know the time is 6:58. Put the time at the top of the paper. And then I just take a minute or a minute and a half, and I put down a bunch of phrases and words. They're not even complete sentences. It's just reflecting on where I am, what's going on, what's in my heart, what happened yesterday, what was significant from the day yesterday, what my anxieties are, what my worries are, what my concerns are, what I'm thinking about, what I'm meditating on, what decisions I have to make, what things are coming up in the day ahead. I'm just really just trying to get my head and my heart. I'm trying to get my heart and my emotions in my head so that when I read the scriptures, I'm not reading blank. I'm reading with a good sense of where I'm at. So it doesn't make, it's not grammatically correct most of the time. It's just these phrases that are going down. So I would write, well, go ahead, just write. Just reflect. I'll give you a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Just write down some phrases. Where you're at, what's going on. Little inventory. All right. Psalm chapter 37. I'm in Psalm 37. Because today is December 7th. So I read a chapter out of the Psalms, a chapter out of Proverbs, and then a chapter somewhere else in the Bible. I follow the day of the month in Psalms and Proverbs. I started Psalms last month in November, so I'm 30 days into it already. That's why I'm at Psalm 37. When it's January 9th, I'm going to be in Psalm 69. When it's February 13th, I'm going to be in Psalm 100 and whatever it is. You understand, right? You just keep adding 30, right? You say, Andy, what do you do with the 31st? Well, then I just open up my Bible and read somewhere in Psalms. And then just get back on the sequence there with the day of the month. I don't need to catch up what I've missed. I need the daily bread. Man can't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So I just need something for the day. I don't need to catch up. So this is not like reading through the Bible in a year. This is taking a few minutes to read and pray every morning. So Psalms is a great book to start off with, because Psalms is a collection of songs, really worship songs and praise songs. And so there's a couple of things in Psalms. One is there's a lot of theology in songs. Psalms, there's a lot of who God is, what he's like, what he doesn't like, what he's excited about, what he's sad about, what he gets angry about, what he's happy about, what he mocks. That's pretty interesting. And so beyond that, you've got the full expression of human emotion in Psalms. So there is nothing in life that you're going to go through that you're not going to find language for expressing that emotion to the Lord. You're going to find that in Psalms. And so being very familiar with the Psalms is going to broaden your vocabulary in prayer and in praise. Great book. All right, so we're going to read Psalm 37. We're looking for three things. One of three things. First thing I'm looking for is something about the Lord, something about his character, his personality, what he's like, what he's not like. I'm not necessarily reading for comprehension, to understand. I'm looking for attributes of who God is. to be reminded of who he is or to learn who he is. The second thing I'm looking for is something I got to do. And sometimes it says, shout aloud to the Lord. And so you just got to stop right there if you're on the bus and just shout to the Lord. Or wait till you get off. Your choice. But you understand, looking for something that you got to do. You feel like the Holy Spirit's saying, hey man, that's something you got to do. And then the third thing I'm looking for is just something that jumps off the page. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will just highlight a phrase or a verse and say, hey, pay attention to that right there. The theme, the verse that God gave me for this church, he gave me in January of 2005. I got it marked in my Bible. I was reading my Bible one day, this 15-minute deal, and in Psalms, this verse jumped off the page at me, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, that's what I'm going to do in this church. You say, well, what is it? He rescues the needy. He lifts the poor out of the ash heap, and he seats them next to princes, with the princes of their land. And the Lord told me, Andy, you're going to have a church where both ends of the socioeconomic scale are going to be sitting next to each other. People who rule the country and people who are been in the ash heap. That was before we started having church services. And that's what's happened. By December that same year, I got a picture. December that same year, I got a picture with bureaucrat right next to buddy who eats at the mission. It's glorious. It's glorious. All right, so now you're interested. Psalm chapter 37. It's not a home run every day, by the way. Psalm 37, let's read. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not or worry not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, or over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, and those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance, but the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrows, but does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so that you will dwell forever. So shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I've seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree, but he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. All right, so one of those verses, you may want to go back and just underline some of the phrases or the words. And then if it fits one of those three categories, you want to write that verse in your journal. You feel like the Holy Spirit's speaking to you through it. So I'll give you 3 minutes. You can review the passage if you want to, and then pick one of those, fits one of those three categories, and write it down on your paper. Go. I forgot to pray. Lord, speak to us through your word. Some of us tonight have never heard you speak to us directly through your word. And I pray they would have that experience tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, go back to what you're doing. All right. I'll read through it once. If I see something, I'll write that verse down. I'll underline that phrase. I'll write that verse down. If I don't see anything the first time through, I'll read through it a second time. If I don't see anything the second time, God's not required to speak to me. I move on. Right? I'll just move on. What I'm doing is I'm opening myself up for the Lord to speak to me, if he wants to. I'm saying to him and to myself, I want to hear from the Lord. That doesn't mean he has to. It doesn't mean that he will, right? But I'm doing my part. I'm being open to him in what he wants to do, what he wants to say. All right, next place we go is Proverbs chapter 7. I do the same thing with Proverbs. One chapter every day, line it up with the day of the month. Proverbs is a great book because it is full of wisdom. It's all that information that your dad should have given you. But if you're like me, I wasn't listening very well. And then there's some stuff that my dad just missed. You know, there's just some gaps that he didn't have, right? And so this has been filling in the gaps. No joke, I've been reading Proverbs every day for 20 years. And it would shock you how many decisions I've made based off what I've read that morning in Proverbs. I know one rehab, there's a rehab down in the States, their whole program is Proverbs. They just read a chapter out of Proverbs every day. That's the program. So immediately applicable to your life, Proverbs. And this one today is hysterical because it's on today. Hilarious that I'm going to read this out loud. I remember doing this in a youth group years ago, and I remember the reaction. It was wonderful. Anyway, so just hilarious how it ended up today with our movie tonight and all this kind of stuff. Three things I'm looking for. Something about the Lord, his character, his nature, his attributes, because I'm trying to get to know God. You understand? I'm trying to get to know God, so I'm looking for that. Second thing, something to do. Third thing, something that just jumps off the page. I feel like the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Hey, they had iPads in the Bible. Say to wisdom, Say to wisdom, you're my sister, and call insight your intimate friend. To keep you from the forbidden woman, we'll just go ahead and add in there, or man, from the adulteress with her smooth words. For at the window of my house, I have looked out through the lattice, my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, always on a corner, taking the road to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him. And with bold face she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I've paid my vows. So now I've come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he'll come home. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter. One of my favorite verses. Or as a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces its liver. As a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me, and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol. That's hell, going down to the chambers of death. All right, I'll give you 3 minutes. You can reread parts of that if you want to. Pick out one to underline or to write in your journal. Go. All right. Genesis chapter 27. I'm making my way through Genesis. You can pick any book you want. The only thing there is you need to work systematically through the book of the Bible. So pick a book, read that book. Again, you're not looking for comprehension necessarily. You're looking for one of those three things. Something about God and who he is and what he's like, his attributes, his personality. Something that you got to do, and then something that just jumps off the page. So you can read Haggai looking for those three things and not understand what's going on. You can read Ezekiel. You can read some of these other books and do that. The other thing I would say to you is I have done these Bible studies in this third section, Psalms, Proverbs, always Psalms and Proverbs, and then making my way through the Bible sometimes. Sometimes I've looked up every verse that has the word father in it. And I've read all those verses and a bit of the context around that. And so I've made my way through the Bible looking at fathers, looking at grace, looking at love, looking at, you know, pick a topic. But I like to just read through books of the Bible. And right now, my wife and I, we're trading off picking which book we're going to read. And so we're both reading the same one together. And theoretically, there'd be some fellowship around that if we could just stop talking about what we're going to have for supper or who's going to make lunches that day and where are we going and what's going on. So anyway, we're making an effort. Genesis chapter 27, again, looking for those three things. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I'm old. I don't know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me 2 good young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies. But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing. His mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go bring them to me. So he went, took them, and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went into his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I'm Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? He answered, because the Lord your God granted me success. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him and he said, are you really my son Esau? He answered, I am. Then he said, bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you. So he brought it near to him and he ate. And he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father, and he said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me. His father Isaac said to him, who are you? He answered, I'm your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even also, O my father. But he said, your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing. Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these 2 times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, have you but 1 blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you've done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of you both in one day? Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I loathe my life because of the Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women like these, one of the women of the land, what good will my life be to me? I will read for 15 minutes. So at the 15-minute mark, I'll stop. mark my place. I'll pick up there the next day. Again, looking for those three things. I'll give you just a couple minutes to review something that's in there, and then we'll wrap this up, and we'll be done. All right? I'll give you 2 minutes. All right. A couple little tips for you. Sometimes while I'm reading, I think of things that I have to do that day. And they'll sit there in my mind and they'll mess with me while I'm reading. I got to remember to email that person. Oh my goodness, I got to go by and I got to pick up that thing. I got to do that today. And it just hangs out in my mind while I'm trying to read. So I've learned. At the bottom of the paper, I start a to-do list. And the second I write it down, it leaves my mind. And I can go back to reading. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit that's telling me something I've got to do or reminding me of something I got to do. So that's even more important to write it down. And then later on in the day, I can go back and I can check those things off. Hey, I remember to do this. I remember to do this. I remember to do this. So what you've got on the whole piece of paper is you've got a record really of your life that day. And right in the middle of it is what the Lord said. Pretty cool, right? So a little task list at the bottom. The last thing I do is I pray. And so what I like to do is I like to take some of the things that the Lord has said to me in those verses and pray them back to him. So turn some of that stuff back into a prayer. Even if it's just, thank you, Lord, for saying this to me. Oh, Lord, help me in this area. Oh, Lord, thank you for the reminder that you are like this and that I can trust you. Or, you know, any of those kinds of things. So I just turn that back to him in prayer, either out loud or sometimes I've found it's effective to write my prayer. And so I'll just take a minute and write out my prayer to the Lord there on that piece of paper. I find sometimes it comes out of my heart differently on paper than it does out loud. And so just kind of mixing it up like that. That's the way I wrap it up. One more thing I'll say to you about this is, two more things I'll say to you about this. It's amazing how many times what I read in the morning comes up later in the day. The Holy Spirit will just bring that to my mind later in the day. And I'll go, man, I read this morning about this. Some of you guys may have been in conversations with me where I said to you, hey, I read this morning this, you know, and just pointing it out to you. And the Lord is just preparing me for the day. Second thing is, and this is what I like to do, if I was doing this one-on-one with you somewhere, what I would like to do from here is meet with you again a week later, and we would read to each other, not your reflections, not your prayer. I really don't care what you are saying anyway. All I really care about is what the Lord is saying. And so I would get you to read those verses that you've written down in your journal. And then from that, two things that are amazing that happens. Number one, I get to hear what the Lord is saying to you. And this is amazing. You get to hear what the Lord is saying to you. And sometimes, hysterical, you'll recognize a pattern. Oh, the Lord is talking to me a lot about my mouth. Oh, my goodness. Or, oh, the Lord is talking to me a lot about this or about that. And you get excited about what God has been saying to you throughout the week. So sometimes at the bottom of those verses, I'll just write a little explanation of, hey, this speaks to me for this or, you know, that kind of thing. But to meet with somebody and then to be able to share that sort of in a round table is just phenomenal. That's what the devotional groups in the bulletin are about. It's people getting together and reading those verses that the Lord has spoken to them throughout the week and encouraging each other, because I can testify to what God has done and what he's doing. And it's embarrassing when it's a goose egg for that day. You didn't read that day? No, it just got busy. Oh, okay. Seems to me you gave your life to Jesus Christ, but you can't give him 15 minutes? Like, a little disconnect there. You understand what I'm saying? I think if you've given your life to Christ, man, this is a practical way of reflecting that. So I want to encourage you. This is my secret. Without a doubt, it's my secret, and now it's in the open. And now you have it. If you don't know Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're going to hell. And your sins are the ones that are putting you there. It also says that the Bible won't make sense to you. It won't make sense to you. You need truth. And truth is a person. Truth is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you will tonight recognize that you're lost, you really don't know where you're going in life, you really don't know a lot of things about life, you really are looking for truth, if you'll recognize that tonight and make a decision to stop living life your own way and start living life the way God has designed life to be lived, laid out for us in this book. If you'll make that decision tonight, you should turn that into a prayer and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of wandering away from you, of living life outside of you. Cleanse me of my sin. Receive me as your child and put the truth inside of me so that your Bible can come alive to me. And he'll do that tonight. You'll put that in a prayer to him. He'll do that tonight. He'll come into you. He'll cleanse you of your sin. You'll feel forgiven of your sin. And you'll have this relationship, this personal relationship with God, where reading the Bible will not be a chore. It'll be a delight. Most of us sitting here tonight are not going, oh man, this is such a bummer. I got to do this every 15 minutes. Most of us sitting here tonight are going, finally, somebody has explained to me how they do it. And now I can do it. I know I can do it. Amen? Come through the sun. Come by the Spirit. Find freedom.
Thanks for listening. We hope this message has helped you to walk closer to the Lord. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please contact us through our website, calvaryottawa.ca. May the Lord richly bless you. So